We'll be asking you to open up your Bibles to Ephesians. I know I don't need that, but just in case you can't hear me. In the book of Ephesians, we in reality have what we just sung about. We have the Apostle Paul talking to the congregation at Ephesus about the Glory Land Way. He's talking to them about the walk that they needed to walk, the way that they needed to travel, and the mindset that they needed to have in order to walk upon that Glory Land Way. And, you know, even before we get to our main lesson tonight, there are some things about the Glory Land Way, some things about a mindset that we must possess in order to walk on this way, in order to even direct our attention in that way. For example, in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, you remember that we are admonished to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4 and verse number 23, we are told, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The prodigal son, as we talked about him over the last several weeks or several weeks back, when he finally, it says in chapter 15 and verse number 17, came to himself. He was able to think now properly about having a right perspective on life. He didn't have that before when he asked the Father for his inheritance. He didn't have that before when he left his father's house to go into a foreign country and to live as he did. He didn't have the right mindset, but he came to himself. In Mark chapter 5 and verse number 15, there is a historical story that is told of a man that was healed by Jesus of demons that referred to himself as Legion, because they were many. And it says that they came and they found him sitting and clothed, and he was in his right mind. God wants us to be in our right mind, and in reality to walk on this Glory Land Way, as we sung about, we have to be in our right mind. Now, there's a lot of things that can get us off track, our focus off point with regards to the right mindset. But those things set aside, I want us to look at what the book of Ephesians has to say in regarding this particular mindset. You know, the entirety of the Bible is really nothing more than God introducing himself to humanity and to say to them, this is my mindset. That's all the Bible is. It's telling us of the mind of God. And then God is encouraging us to walk in or with his mindset. So you think about Ephesians chapter 3, for example, and beginning in verse number 9, and he says that this is concerning the revelation of the mystery, verse number 3, the mystery of Christ, verse number 4. It's concerning the gospel, verse number 6. It's concerning the unsearchable riches of Christ in verse number 8. And he says all of that was to make known what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. To the intent, what was the revelation for? To the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be made known. Here's the mind of God. And God wants to make his mind known by the church. And he's making known the manifold wisdom of God. And it says in verse number 11 that this was according to the eternal purpose which he, God the Father, purposed, it says, in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when you look at the book of Ephesians, you really have this beautiful book that is a synopsis of our Bible, a synopsis of the mind of God in regards to what God wants us to know about walking on this glory land way. And in chapter 1, you have this beautiful expression of how man and God can walk in unity together. As Amos 3 in verse number 3 suggests, how can we walk together except we be agreed? That's not talking about just you and I. That's talking about us and God. We cannot walk together with God unless we agree with God, unless we come to possess the mindset of God. I need to learn to think about things the way God thinks about things. And so in chapter 1, all the way throughout chapter 3, you have God revealing to us His eternal desire and His eternal plan. Does that not suggest desire and plan? Does that not suggest mindset? This is the mind of God. God planned for man's redemption. All of chapter 1, at least the first aspect of that, you read down through there, and blessed be the God and Father who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place. This is the mind of God. God wants us to understand that He is a God who blesses us. He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. He predestined us, verse number 5. He made us in the beloved. We could go on and on with this is the mind of God in redemption, and He wants us to know that He's planned all of this. This is the perfect plan of God in redemption. Then you get down to verse number 16, and He begins to talk about the fact that He planned Christ to have the preeminence. And then you come to verse number 18, for example, and you find there let's drop down to verse number 20 and 21 and 22. He says, far above, this is where Christ is seated, far above all principality and power. They might have dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And He hath given Him, or given all things, put all things under His feet, and given Him to be the head over all things, which is the church. And so God designed it, Colossians 1 and verse number 18 as well. God planned for Christ to have the preeminence, that He would be the King of kings, that He would be the blessed and only potentate, you see, that He would be the guide and director of our lives. This is the will of Christ, then, that is being spoken of here in the preeminence. But God planned for a resurrection to occur. I'm not talking about the resurrection of Christ here. I'm talking about chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and the resurrection of man's character. Man's character through sin had become debased and demoral, and it was headed toward death if you listen to James chapter 1, verses 13 and following, right? Sin, when it is full grown, leads to death. That was where sin was taking us. Our mindset had become corrupted. Read Ephesians chapter 4 sometime, and it talks about those Gentiles being so corrupted that they could not even think properly about the mindset of God. But God planned a resurrection. And so He says, even though we were dead in our trespasses and sin, He made us alive. The King James says He quickened us. Made us alive. That's a resurrection of moral character and fortitude in our lives, so that now we could walk on that glory land way. And then in chapter 2, verses 11 and following, God planned it this way. This is what He's telling us. He's given us the mindset of God. It was always, even before God divided Jew and Gentile, He had it within His eternal plan to one day bring them back together again. And by the way, all of this was planned of God to be done in the church. Christ has His preeminence in the church. Jew and Gentile are reconciled in one body, the church. Redemption is found within the church. All of this, the eternal plan of God, all of this God plan, the church itself, therefore, is a part of the eternal plan of God. He desired what you and I possess today. God's been thinking about for eternity. And He's been planning, we know, since the foundation of the world. Since the very first time that God said, "Let there be light," He had in His mind a plan to save. When He would get down to verse number 26 of Genesis chapter 1, and He would say, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness," He had in mind that when they sinned, "I've got a plan." That plan includes what you and I are blessed to be a part of at this particular time. We get to sing about the Glory Land Way. We get to be a part of this unique body, this family we can now be a part of. We're blessed. And so, you know, when you think about the proper mindset that we ought to have, it should be a mindset that remembers where we came from. If you forget where you came from, you will forget to thank God for where you are now. Always remember that at one point in time in history, that you were separated from Christ. That you were alienated from all of the great blessings involved in Christianity. Now, I don't know everybody here. That may describe you right now. That may describe someone who's come in here to our assembly today and you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins. You're not a believer in Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're just thinking about it and something has drawn you here from some particular reason. You want to know more about the truth. We would love to sit down and talk to you a little bit more about the truth. It may be that you're here tonight after being gone for some time. What better time than tonight to gather in the mindset of God and to allow Him. Once you had a resurrection, right? You probably recall the day, the time, and the very hour in which you were baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Where you laid that dead man in his grave of water. And you remember so joyfully, so gleefully that time in which I can remember back in December of 1979 down at the Tuttle Church of Christ. And that's Oklahoma, by the way. In Tuttle, Oklahoma. And Brother Hoyt Thatcher, the gospel preacher there, who baptized me in that grave. And I can still remember the joy that I felt going back to school. That was lunch hour on a Friday. And I remember going back to school my junior, senior year. Going back and the joy that I felt. Much like that Ethiopian eunuch, right? Who went on his way rejoicing. But sin has crept in. Your vision has become blurred. And other things have clouded and fogged the way, so that you can no longer see with the mindset of God. I hope that you take this opportunity to, as we would say oftentimes, to rededicate your life. To put it back on the right track. That's what rededicate means. Put it back on the right track. Don't let the mind of God slip away for an eternity. So the decisions that you make at this particular time will be decisions that will have an eternal effect upon your life. Our desires, and we know that God desires for all men to be saved. Our desire tonight is, as we stand and sing this song of invitation, that if there's something that keeps you from seeing with the mind of God, that you would take care of that tonight. As together we stand.